You're listening to The Air of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll come and tuck you in later.
All right.
I got a story, too, I promised to read to you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the Harvest Trust Research Conference for CAGI and the Intelligence Service will be Monday, August 19th, 1996, through and including Friday, August 23rd, 1996, five information-packed morning to midnight days, and this conference is going to be better than any we've ever held before. It will not be held in Arizona. And I'm not going to tell you where it's going to be held. If you're interested in attending our conference, I can tell you it's held about midway between the East and West Coast. And it's going to be a doozy. And I mean a doozy, if you know what that means. If you're from the South, you do. It's going to be the best we have ever had, ladies and gentlemen. Registration fees. If you'd like an information packet before you make up your mind, send me a letter right this moment. And I mean immediately. Tell me that you'd like an information packet for the Harvest Trust Research Conference for CAGI News Service and the Intelligence Service. And here are the fees. If you just want to go and you're not interested in where it is, you can send us the fee and then we'll send you the information packet. And you'll be guaranteed a seat because we're only taking 100 people, period. As soon as we have 100 people, it will be cut off. No more will be allowed under any circumstances. And I guarantee you it's going to fill up quick. The registration fees for intelligence service and CAGI members, it's $150. For intelligence service and CAGI members, $150. For those of you in the intelligence service who have a family membership, it's $200. That's you and your spouse. And $50 for any additional family members 7 years of age or older. Children of intelligence service members and CAGI news service members under the age of 7 years are free. And for non-members, if you are not a member of the intelligence service or the CAGI news service, it's $400 per person. No negotiations, no special circumstances, no exceptions whatsoever. So let me go over these fees again one more time for you. It's $150 for intelligence service and our CAGI members. That's $150 for intelligence service and CAGI members. It's $200 for intelligence service family memberships. That's you and your spouse if you have a family membership. It's $50 additional for intelligence service additional family members 7 years of age or older. There is no family membership for the CAGI News Service. I hope you all understand that. Never has been. Children of intelligence service members and CAGI News Service under the age of 7 years are free. It's $400 for non-members. $400 for non-members per person. No exceptions, no special circumstances, no nothing. If you want to come, that's the fee. Infants, nursing mothers, and children are welcome. A quiet play area will be provided for the younger children in the conference area. There's an outdoor swimming pool if the children are old enough and want to swim with adult supervision only. Children are at all times the responsibility of their parents, and the Intelligence Service, the CAGI News Service, or the Harvest Trust will not accept any responsibility for anything that happens to any children who are brought to this conference under any circumstances, or for that matter, anyone else. You're responsible for yourself, for your family, and for your children. There is a, near the conference center, there is a an international airport, and there's also a private, non-commercial airport for those of you who may have small planes who want to be flying in. There will be lectures by myself and several other prominent speakers from the Intelligence Service and Second Continental Army, the Republic, and CAGI News Service. There will be informative lectures by guest speakers, special guest speakers. There will be educational videos, live broadcast each night of the hour of the time, and there will be a conference dinner on the first night of the conference, Monday night, and there will be a close of conference luncheon on Friday afternoon on the last day of the conference, and there may even be a camp out. We're working on that. Lakeside tent and recreational vehicle camping is available nearby within 15 minutes of the conference site. There are hotel and motel accommodations abundant in the area. Price ranges from $26 a night all the way up to $85 a night. Whatever you want. The fee only includes the conference, lectures, and programs. You have to provide your own transportation, your own meals, and your own lodging. The information packet, when you send for information on the conference, will include all of the addresses and phone numbers of all of the available accommodations in the area and a schedule of events. Make sure you bring notebooks, lots of pens or pencils. You may audio tape if you wish, video cameras, and regular still photograph cameras are not allowed. And if you want to take photographs outside of the conference activities, you may, but only with the permission of those who are being photographed. Okay. I guess that's about it for the conference. Let me give you those dates once again, if I can get back to the first page of this goodie here. From Monday, August the 19th, through and including Friday, August the 23rd. It gives you a weekend to get there and a weekend to get back home. Plenty of time to relax and do all the good things that I know that you want to do. Nobody likes to hurry to get anywhere, and nobody likes to hurry to get home. So, this is going to be the best ever, and once you get your information packet, you'll know why. We also hope, ladies and gentlemen, to have a copy of Oklahoma City Day One for all of the participants of the conference who ordered that book for the conference. However, if the printer has not completed the book by that time, we will not. So, we're pushing for it. And that's pushing, but we hope that we'll be able to do that. Don't go away. I'll be right back with a full schedule of information that you need to know.
Jonestown and the People's Temple was in reality a mass mind control experiment conducted by the CIA as a follow-up to something called MKUltra. They had mental checkups for everyone every day.
Mind control experimentation going on.
Well, I've been educating you in the law for over 4 years now, ladies and gentlemen, going on our fifth year of broadcasting. And I've repeatedly admonished you on many occasions that Americans do not understand the law, do not understand the Constitution, do not understand even who they are. Well, I've been proven right once again, and I have aired this before, but I want to do it again because it's important. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17 of the United States Constitution says, quote, "The Congress shall have power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may be cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings," end quote. Federal District Judge Rudolph T. Randa, in March of 1995, which I read to you when this decision was made, ruled that the freedom of access to clinic entrances law is unconstitutional because the federal government does not have jurisdiction within the several states except in those areas designated by the Constitution. The case was appealed by the U.S. Attorney, who stated that, quote, "If this argument is allowed to prevail, half the jail cell doors in this country will have to swing open," end quote. Isn't this amazing? I'm going to give you a little bit of the propaganda that's being spread around the country, and then I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Headline: Agents discover arsenal of firearms and explosives. Suspect's house and militia case yields grenade launcher and Uzi. By Michelle Roberts, Associated Press writer. It should say Associated Press propagandist par excellence. Yellow journalist, absolute liar, despicable, scum-faced, puke-nosed pig. Let me read you this article and then you'll understand why. You see, there are no more credible journalists in this country except the journalists who write for and contribute to Veritas newspaper. All other print and electronic media has been thoroughly and completely discredited. They are nothing but a pack of liars. Phoenix, Dateline. Federal agents have found a virtual arsenal of explosives and weapons in the homes of Viper militia members, including assault rifles, a machine gun, body armor, gas masks, and militia training manuals. Now, let me go over that. That's the first paragraph, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong in the first paragraph. Federal agents have found a virtual arsenal of explosives and weapons. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, they found no explosives whatsoever, none, zero, zip. They found some bags of ammonium nitrate fertilizer in several of the homes, which were used to fertilize the lawns and gardens. Anyone can buy ammonium nitrate in any garden supply, and it is not illegal to own. There were no explosives. This is a lie. And guess what, folks? They found weapons. Weapons. Well, you know, I still read the second article in amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America, and it still says that we can own weapons. None of the weapons that were seized from any of these people who are purported to be members of, quote, the Viper militia, end quote, were illegal. None, not one. There were no machine guns. All of the so-called assault rifles are 100% perfectly legal, including the Uzi. The body armor is legal. Anyone can purchase it. In fact, you can purchase it right out of Soldier of Fortune magazine. You can purchase gas masks at any local military surplus store or camping store, usually. And militia training manuals, guess what those usually turn out to be, ladies and gentlemen? They're United States Army training manuals, which can be purchased also at any surplus store. Some militias make their own training manuals. There is no law against it. The first article in amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America guarantees the right of free speech. Doesn't matter what you're writing about. You can write a book on how to kill people, how to blow up buildings, how to dig holes in the ground, how to build atomic bombs. All of it is absolutely, perfectly, 100% legal in this country, and the day that it ceases to be legal is the day that we cease to be free. Now let me read to you the second paragraph. Quote, the whole house is littered with weapons. You can hardly walk anywhere without stepping on one, Phoenix Police Lieutenant Mike DiBenedetto said during a search Tuesday at the home of Gary Bauer, one of the suspects. Now let me tell you the truth. The whole house was not littered with weapons. They were not on the floor. Anyone who owns weapons usually respects weapons and does not leave them lying around all over the floor so that you can't help stepping on one, as this blatant, lying, propaganda jerk, Lieutenant Mike DiBenedetto, said, or is supposed to have said to the press. You know, sometimes these communist reporters just make these things up, so it's possible that he didn't say it at all. But if he did, he is exactly what I said. Our information is that all of these people had weapons that were legal and lawful to own. In fact, as I have told you before, everybody in the entire state of Arizona owns weapons, except for a very, very small minority. Everyone is armed. I can guarantee you that anybody that you are talking to that you just met almost anywhere in the state of Arizona is either carrying a weapon on their person or in their vehicle, and I can guarantee that 98% of all of the citizens of the state of Arizona have weapons in their home. There is no law restricting the number of weapons that anyone might own, whether they be knives, crossbows, bows and arrows, spears, firearms, so-called, quote, assault weapons, end quote, or anything else. Third paragraph. About 10 agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, dressed in jeans and T-shirts, spent a second day hauling evidence from Bauer's home in northern Phoenix. Well, they may have. Well, I don't know what they call evidence so far. Everything that they call evidence that these people are being charged with having is not illegal. Not one single piece of anything that the press or the police or the criminal, the real criminal, Janet Napolitano, the United States Attorney for the state of Arizona, none of the things that they have cited as being illegal or unlawful or wrong are just outrageous, is illegal. None of it. Fourth paragraph. Bauer 50 and 11 other militia members were charged Monday with plotting to blow up government buildings in the Phoenix area. 10 pleaded innocent Monday to federal charges. They conspired to commit civil disorder, and 2 others were scheduled to be arraigned on Friday. Well, I've already told you the truth of the matter, folks. They didn't conspire to blow up anything. They had plans, and they made a video on how to blow up buildings, if they had to blow up buildings, if, in fact, the United States Constitution were suspended and the United States government declared war upon its own citizens. That is the duty of any and all militias, to prepare those plans and be ready to execute whatever is necessary in order to restore the Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land, to repel invasion, suppress insurrection, and execute the laws of the Union. Paragraph 5. Agents loaded 4 pickup trucks Tuesday with evidence. Now listen to this. Including about 70 shotguns, rifles and other weapons, large wooden crates and metal boxes. It is not against the law to own 70 shotguns or 700 shotguns or 7,000 shotguns, rifles or other weapons. The large wooden crates were filled with ammunition for these rifles, and they weren't large. They were just normal ammunition crates, and metal boxes which contained rifle cleaning equipment and the necessary tools and things to maintain the weapons. Meanwhile, inventory, this is paragraph 6, meanwhile, inventory lists filed by ATF agents in federal court in Phoenix on Tuesday included several hundred items seized from the homes of seven other suspects. They don't say what these are. They are implying that they have seized several hundred items, and by implication, these items are illegal or unlawful. The truth is, none of them are. Paragraph 7. Among the items listed were a riot smoke grenade, which is not illegal and is not unlawful, an adapter for a grenade launcher, which anyone can purchase at any supply, a weapons supply house, surplus store, through mail order catalogs dealing with weapons, detonation cord, which is det cord, which is also not illegal to own. Anyone can purchase that. An Uzi rifle, which is not illegal under any circumstances, a Chinese bolt-action rifle, which is not illegal, and, get this, Viper Team insignia patches. Ooh, nasty, nasty, nasty. Also found were technical manuals on using grenade launchers and assault weapons, as well as books on tactical deception and explosives and propellants, which you can buy, ladies and gentlemen, at any survival expo, almost any gun shop. You can buy all of these items, and I mean every single one of them, from the Shotgun News or the Gun List, or many of them can be purchased through Soldier, Fortune, Survival Magazine, and many others. Almost any gun magazine will also have these items for sale. Listen to this. ATF Director John McGaw said they also had gathered about 700 pounds of ammonium nitrate, a fertilizer used in the Oklahoma City bombing. The 700 pounds spread over all of these people who were arrested, ladies and gentlemen, is claimed. The truth is, and here's the truth, this is a blatant lie, they confiscated less than 300 pounds. That is the truth. You can check the record and find out for yourself. If they tell you 700 pounds, tell them you would like to see it and weigh it. They will begin to backpedal furiously, as they are nothing but a pack of barefaced liars. In the next paragraph, it says Bauer's home was evacuated Monday night after a cache of lead picric, an explosive substance, was discovered. Agents detonated the material at a remote airfield and returned to the home Tuesday after determining it was safe to enter. Lead picric, ladies and gentlemen, is a common, well, I don't mean common that it's found in every home, but it is a common chemical that can be purchased by anyone with no problems, with no special permits, and is not dangerous if you handle it properly. And it is not only used for explosives or for manufacturing explosives. It has many other uses. Also, I said, to ask them if you could weigh it. Well, you can't, folks, because the ammonium nitrate that they discovered in the garages of these people that they used to fertilize their lawn with, and you'll find it in almost every garage across the country where people fertilize and take care of their lawn, or at least you used to be able to. Many people still use it, still have it. Although I imagine there are some that got scared by the bombing in Oklahoma City and don't use it anymore. But they took it out. They took these bags of common lawn fertilizer out as a propaganda ploy on the day that they arrested these guys and detonated it in a field. And if you were watching the detonation on TV, ladies and gentlemen, there was no explosion. It was just sort of a fizzle, and very little of it even burned. In fact, I think the only burning that was seen was the flare that was used to attempt to ignite it, because just bags of ammonium nitrate by themselves are not explosive and will not blow up and are no danger whatsoever. And their little propaganda ploy didn't work because there was no explosion. What it looked like was somebody set off a traffic flare and it just sort of fizzled and sputtered. And I think that's the only thing that was really set off. So they're going to tell you that they don't have any more, so you can't weigh it. But on the day that it was confiscated, They told the true weight was less than 300 pounds of fertilizer. Fertilizer in Big Bang bags, ladies and gentlemen, weighs an awful lot. Among the 11 people arrested, only it would only take, ladies and gentlemen, six bags to make 300 pounds. So they're trying to make you think that there's a whole bunch of stuff here, and there wasn't. There was less than six bags, because it was less than 300 pounds of ammonium nitrate, less than six bags of lawn fertilizer. Oh, boy. It just makes me sick to read this crap. Used to be able to pick up the paper in this country and at least read some semblance of the truth. You can't do that anymore. This Michelle Roberts is just an out-and-out scumbag, lying, yellow journalist, communist news network stooge. She's an Associated Press writer, if you would like to write the Associated Press and tell them what you think of her article. And this was printed in the repository in Canton, Ohio, Wednesday, July 3rd, 1996. And other papers all across the country who do nothing but pick the Associated Press news items off the wire and print them verbatim without checking anything. They don't even have reporters anymore. All the machinery is there to do whatever kind of conversion you want, he said. Obviously, Bauer had a lot of expertise by the type of work he's doing with firearms. Also found in the house were fully assembled explosive devices and machinery to convert weapons such as semi to fully automatic weapons, said DiBenedetto. That also is a lie. There were no explosive devices other than regular ammunition, ladies and gentlemen, that you can buy in any gun shop, in most places like Western Drug, through magazines, whatever. It's not illegal. You don't have to have any special permits, nothing. He said, all the machinery is there to do whatever kind of conversion you want, to convert weapons, such as semi to fully automatic. You know what that means? They had a toolbox, and maybe there was a lathe in somebody's garage, because that's all it takes. Authorities did not evacuate Bauer's neighborhood because they felt the explosive devices, though fully assembled, were not in danger of detonating. They weren't in danger of detonating because there weren't any, except for regular, normal, legal, and lawful ammunition. Next paragraph. The suspects are accused of plotting to use explosives to destroy buildings housing local offices of the FBI, ATF, Internal Revenue Service, Immigration and Naturalization Service, the Secret Service, the Phoenix Police Department, the Arizona National Guard, and even a local TV station. A May 1994 videotape features a member discussing security measures, communications equipment, and other details of the targeted buildings, according to the indictment. President Clinton praised the law enforcement officers involved Tuesday. Their dedication and hard work over the last 6 months may have saved many lives, Clinton said. Guess who it was that infiltrated this group, ladies and gentlemen? Well, maybe I'll tell you. Maybe I won't. Stay tuned for the next copy of Veritas and you'll find out. Now I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. I want you all to help with this. I believe that this is important, extremely important, in my estimation. You see, there have been some people who have not been forgotten. They're covered in the history books. Many records of their bravery and what they did have been written, but not too many Americans know that 5,000 black free men and slaves together, but not segregated into black units, fought alongside of our founding fathers to create this great nation. And the Black Patriots Foundation has received permission, ladies and gentlemen, to build a memorial to these 5,000 black patriots who helped liberate the American people from King George, fought and died on the battlefields of the American Revolution in order to create this nation, a national monument dedicated to black patriots of the revolution has been proposed by the Black Patriots Foundation. They have obtained approval of Congress to build the memorial, and they have until October of this year to gather the necessary resources. After that, they lose the approval. The deadline is fast approaching. The financial responsibility to write this historical wrong, in my estimation. Now, Rep. businesses, with churches that you may belong to, you should take this to your church, to your organizations, to your senior centers. You should take it to every group that you can think of and help us honor these forgotten heroes. You see, it was not for their own land that they fought, nor even for a land which had adopted them, but for a land which had enslaved them, and whose laws, even in freedom, more often oppressed than protected them. Harriet Beecher Stowe said, and I quote, "Bravery under such circumstances has a peculiar beauty and merit," end quote, and I would second that. So I want you all to dig deep, and I mean deeply, into your pockets and send a contribution to the Black Patriots Foundation, specifying that your contribution is to go specifically and only to build the national monument dedicated to Black Patriots of the Revolution. I'm going to give you the address right now. And I'm going to give you a phone number to make a credit card donation if you have a credit card. So write this down. In fact, I'm going to let you scurry around and get your pens and pencils, and then I will give you the address and the phone number. There were more than 5,000 of them. No historian has neglected or refused to tell their story. It's well recorded. There were men and women of African descent who sought the same goals as those of the European heritage alongside whom they fought and died. Liberty, independence, and freedom from tyranny was their dream, just as it was the dream of the founding fathers, who are more well known. For whether you know it or not, these 5,000 black American patriots who fought in the American Revolution are also founding fathers. They are our forefathers. And who knows, without those 5,000, maybe we would have lost the Revolutionary War, and maybe there would never have been this great country. They fought for only one reason: freedom. Simple as that. You see, the white people had come to America to escape tyranny. Most had come to escape some sort of religious persecution. Many were criminals in the old world. The black people came as prisoners of tyranny. The whites came with hopes, the blacks with chains. Yet they had a common vision, ladies and gentlemen, of the future, and that vision was freedom. The only thing that divides us today is in our own minds. It does not exist. It's a bugaboo. It's the old boogeyman. You think it's under your bed, but it's not there at all. Among these people was a large community of freedmen. Freedmen. Who chose to serve. They didn't have to, but chose to. You see, they understood freedom. The slaves were not forced to fight. In 1774, slaves sent a plea to the royal governor of Massachusetts saying, quote, We have in common with all of them a natural right to our freedoms without being deprived of them by our fellow men." End quote. Thomas Jefferson, whom you all know, echoed the sentence in the words, quote, "that all men are created equal, with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," end quote. So in the Revolutionary War, blacks and whites fought side by side. They were not segregated into black units and white units, and they died side by side. Now a memorial is planned to those first freedom fighters, the 5,000 black patriots of the Revolution. Be located just north of the reflecting pool that runs from the Washington Monument to the Lincoln Memorial. And the place where 100,000 people came from all over the nation to hear Martin Luther King Jr. say, "I have a dream." Well, those men had a dream. And their progeny have finally realized it. So let us help honor these men who helped made us all free. Send your contributions to the Black Patriots Foundation. The Black Patriots Foundation. And even you flaming racists out there should send a contribution, because you might not be free today if it had not been for these 5,000 black patriots. You see, 5,000 could have made the difference. 5,000 men could have easily made the difference in who won or lost the Civil War. I mean, it was a civil war back then. It was a war of English subjects against the English king, but we refer to it as the Revolutionary War. 1612. That's 1612 K Street. K, just the letter K. 1612 K Street. Northwest. Suite 1104. That's 1612 K Street, Northwest, Suite 1104. One more time. 1612 K Street, Northwest, Suite 1104. Washington, D.C., 20006. That's Washington, D.C., 20006. In a few minutes, I'll give you a phone number where you can call to make a credit card contribution. It's the Black Patriots Foundation, 1612 K Street, Northwest, Suite 1104, Washington, D.C., 20006. And here is the number where you can make a credit card contribution. It's 1-800. It's 1-800-888-9811. That's 1-800-888-9811. One more time for those of you who are a little slow. 1-800-888-9811. I hope that you will all reach deep into your pockets and help make this a reality. I think it will do an awful lot to make a lot of people feel good. What have I got now here? This appeared in Women and Guns in May 1996. Women and Guns, May 1996. I'm going to read you this article. I think it's important. But first, let's do this. Let's take a short break and take a deep breath. Okay? I'll be right back, folks. Thank you. While the idea of individuals wanting to have firearms for defense of self and property seems distinctly American, its origins are found in medieval England. The bearing of arms began as a duty to maintain not only the public safety, but to allow armed individuals to act as an available army in case of attack by foreign intruders. There was no constabulary to protect individuals against criminals. Additionally, there was also an intense fear of standing armies, since they were paid mercenaries with little loyalty to the reigning monarch and less to the local citizenry. Lest anyone attributes a real scholarly talent opposed to a true pleasure of and respect for history, let me thank David Hardy Esquire and Professor Joyce Malcolm for their fascinating discussions into the seeds of the American constitutional right to keep and bear arms. In addition to Mr. Hardy's origins and development of the Second Amendment and Mr. and Ms. Malcolm's to keep and bear arms, which both have been liberally used, I have had the pleasure of hearing them deliver papers on this great tradition. The Saxons, who invaded England around 500 AD, required that each landowner maintain weapons and armor suitable to his rank and position. It was additionally required that every freeman was to be instructed in the use of arms and to perform military exercises once a year. William the Conqueror and the Normans brought with them a more advanced feudal system when they conquered England in 1066 AD. The Assizes of Arms of 1181 required that every freeman had to possess the arms as required by statute by the Feast of St. Hilary, and that they could not be sold, given, lent, or pledged in any manner. By the late 1200s, crime was so rife that all men, not just freemen, between the ages of 15 and 60, were required to have and be capable of using minimally bows and arrows. It was not until 1328 that the idea of bearing arms was even considered anything but a duty. Edward III ordered that arms could not be carried into certain places, such as courts and affrays, which are riots, in an attempt to stop the marauders who were terrorizing the people. As David Hardy so succinctly points out, Edward was being held prisoner at this time by his father's murderer, whom he later overthrew and executed. 14th century politics was a risky business. In 1503, Henry VII put severe curbs on the shooting of crossbows because shooting is now greatly decayed in the realm, and longbows had been used with such success that honor and victory had been gotten against enemies and the realm greatly defended. Interestingly, along with the ban on crossbows came one exception: unless he shoot out of a house for lawful defense of the same. 9 years later, Henry VIII expanded the citizen's role in keeping both the domestic and national peace by ruling that each child between the ages of 7 and 17 be provided with a bow and 4 arrows to amuse them and learn them. In 1514, Henry VIII realized that the longbow had fallen into disfavor with the citizenry, so he revived the restrictions on crossbows and included some on handguns. By 1539, after several revisions, the handgun prohibition was repealed. Within a few years, the sovereign was proclaiming how expeditious it was to have his loving subjects practiced and exercised in the shooting of handguns. It was not until the reign of Henry's daughter Mary that the concept of militia was even introduced in relation to the bearing of arms. In the lengthy document dated 1557 and 1558 that proscribes 18 different classes of obligations, the major theme appears to be the need for training, drilling, and organization of the citizenry and a schedule for musters. With the ascent of Elizabeth I in 1558, the promotion of shooting and militia musters continued. Elizabeth was followed in 1603 by James I, who repealed the Tudor statute, and by 1639, the laws governing the requirements for personal arms and drilling had either been repealed or were ignored. His son Charles I attempted to raise a permanent army as England's contribution to the Thirty Years' War. With the anti-army sentiment and Parliament's refusal to allocate funds for them, Charles forced citizens to billet soldiers in private homes and funded them through forced loans. The citizens were outraged, and a confrontation between the English Parliament and the King took place. The Parliament demanded control of the militia, and the King is quoted as responding, "By God, not for an hour." Thus began the English Civil War. The result of this travail was that forewarned was forearmed, and from 1642, Englishmen learned to hide their firearms and stockpile weapons. It is from these earliest protectors of individual liberties that the seeds of our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms spring. Even before King John signed the Magna Carta in 1215, agreeing to remove all alien knights, crossbowmen, sergeants, and mercenary soldiers, this right has been regarded as a cornerstone of individual liberty. So it continues today, a mainstay of freedom. Join a militia. If you can't find a militia, form a militia of your own. But first, study the laws of your state and the laws of the United States concerning the militia. Make sure that you operate legally, lawfully, constitutionally, and no one can touch you. But have the courage of your convictions, ladies and gentlemen. There is a point where you must draw a line in the sand, and once that line is drawn, it cannot ever be crossed. I have drawn my line in the sand, and woe be unto any who ever crossed that line. Now I'm going to give you a warning. I sincerely hope and I pray every day and every night that my prediction concerning the Olympic Games will not come true. And if it does not come true, I will be overjoyed with happiness. And so should you. But having studied the history of socialism, communism, Marxism, having studied Hegel, having watched what these people have done in other countries, having fought them on the battlefields in Vietnam, I think I know what is going to happen. Having watched the preparation in the communist news networks to prepare the American people for a tremendous disaster at the Olympic Games, and since it is the largest security force ever assembled upon the face of the earth to protect any one single event. And the American taxpayers, whoever they are, I pay all lawful and constitutional taxes which I am required to pay, ladies and gentlemen, but I am not a taxpayer. Neither should you be. It makes me laugh every time I hear something about the taxpayers party. Listen to me very carefully. The American sheeple have been propagandized by the communist news networks and the communist print media in this country to expect and to accept a tremendous disaster and loss of human life at the Olympic Games in Atlanta this summer. There has been so much press and so much propagandizing preparing the way for this to actually happen that I am actually amazed that anyone has purchased tickets and is actually going to go sit there and wait to be killed. They want to disarm the American people. They want to destroy all those who consider themselves to be patriots, all those who belong to militias, who would fight and defend freedom, who would execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, repel invasion, and restore the Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land. They must have a legitimate reason for doing this that will be accepted in the eyes of the American people. They have framed several people, two in Georgia, several in the Phoenix recently. They have lied about all of these men. The people in Georgia, they claimed, had built pipe bombs and were targeting the Olympic Games. The truth is they didn't build anything, didn't want any part of it, didn't do anything. The only ones who discussed bombs were BATF infiltrators, provocateurs, informants. They're the only ones who purchased and assembled the necessary ingredients. They went out on Mr. Starr's property without his permission or knowledge and buried this stuff, including pipes. And then they went and swore in front of a judge that these people had explosives on their property and were planning to blow up the Olympics, obtained a search warrant, went and dug up the stuff that they had just buried, and then arrested Starr and McCraney. And they were the subject of the headline article in our last Veritas, which explained the truth of the whole matter. The Communist News Networks are still telling the world that these people had planned to blow up the Olympic Games, although it has come out in court, it is on the record, that the BATF have admitted all of it. All of it. So I'm going to tell you right now that if you consider yourself to be a patriot, if you could possibly be on the list of Bobo Grits or anybody else, any of the other Trojan horses who have been actively collecting the names and addresses of patriots and patriot leaders and those who would fight to defend the Constitution for the United States of America, you should have a full field pack prepared. Your weapons should be cleaned and ready to use. You should have ammunition, food. You should have cached stores of food and ammunition all around your area of operations. You should be prepared to hit the bush, to hit the forest, to go underground and fight a sustained guerrilla warfare for an indefinite period of time if indeed these socialist, scumbag, totalitarian world government proponents decide to kill a few thousand people at the Olympic Games this summer. Because if they do, whether they use chemical, biological, nuclear, or bombs, it will be used as an excuse to suspend the coming elections or cancel them altogether, declare martial law, and send the military forces against the patriots and militias of this country. So this is a word to the wise. Be prepared to mobilize in an instance. And I mean in an instance, for the warning will be brief. Very brief, if there is any warning at all. I do not, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, advocate violence of any sort, unless the violence is directed at us first, and then I tell you, and I tell you with the utmost assuredness, that we are justified in using any and all means and methods to overcome those who would bring violence against us to destroy us and thus this great nation. And you should have that same conviction. I will say this as I have always said before. I hope and I pray that none of this ever has to come to pass. But as I have also said before, I have studied these people all my life, more than most probably ever have or ever will. I know their modus operandi. I know their methods. I know they have no conscience, no ethics, no morals. They believe that the end justifies the means. And they will do whatever it takes. They will lie to themselves, to their family, to their friends, and to the world. And they will kill millions and even billions of people to attain their goal, a one-world totalitarian socialist state. And don't get me wrong on the subject of world government. You see, anything brought about by a lie is just another lie and cannot stand and cannot last. And if it were going to be any good, no one would have to lie to bring it into existence. No one would have to deceive anyone else, and no one would have to be manipulated or manipulate to bring it into being. If we are to have world government, if it is going to be a good world government, to really achieve some kind of peace and really bring the world together, and if it is discussed openly, without deception, without lies, without manipulation, I believe with all my heart I could probably support it. But I cannot support what these people are trying to bring into the world today. For it is being brought about through nothing but lies, deception, manipulation, criminal acts, murder, massacres, and everything else that is despicable and abhorrent that you can possibly imagine they are doing. Therefore, I must oppose it with all my heart and all my soul and everything that I have at my disposal. And I hope that you feel the same way, because I truly believe my research has revealed to me that they intend to destroy freedom for all people and enslave the human race. Take us backwards in our evolution. And I, for one, don't like to walk that way. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and may truly God bless you all.